Amen. You're happy to be out tonight. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we bow. Lord, we pray, Father, we so appreciative. Lord, we have another opportunity. And Lord, as we look through this world of all the sickness and pain and sufferings, Lord, it's your grace, Lord, that we have health and strength. Lord, to be able to come and to gather. And more than anything, Father, that desire that burns in our hearts to please you. Lord, we ask that you bless us tonight. Father, as you are here with us and you walk amongst us, pray you look into our hearts and see what we need, Lord. Father, as we listen tentatively to your word, reveal it to us, we pray. And you have your way. Lord, even the few songs you've laid on my heart, Lord, that it would just prepare us for you when you speak to us. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our capstone books, if you will. Praise his name. Page 49. Hallelujah. Blood that stained the old rugged cross. On the cross of Calvary, our blessed Savior died, gave his life to save the world from law. In his pain and agony, for every sin to hide, shed the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, soul so far astray, come and plunge in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. To the cross, the rugged cross, they nailed his precious hands, and in death he fully paid. Was his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross? Was his love that paid the awful cost? Oh, soul so far astray, come and plunge that stained the old rugged cross. What an awful death he died to pardon you and me. All alone in agony he called. The bride once found in sin. Oh, think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. By the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Oh, 'twas him.
that stained the old rugged cross, was his love that paid the awful cost. There is pardon for payment, come and plunge to
price he paid for, saints.
Thank you.
Love he showed. Amen. Page 69. Amen. Jesus signed my pardon.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Hallelujah. I was in sin's prison, oh, so dark and cold. Just a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. But the door swung open, Jesus spoke to me, I have signed your pardon, you may now go free. Oh, Jesus, sign my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I'll give to him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, oh, life is now worth living since I have been set free. I'm so glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon, he has paid it all. Oh, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place on Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I'll give to him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary. Amen. Has he signed your pardon? Yes. Have you accepted him? Amen. Praise his name. Page 63 before we... Amen. One day. One day soon, saints. Amen.
I have never seen the face of my Savior, but serving him has been such a thrill. I have never seen the gates to that city. Oh, but one day I will. Oh, one day pure gold, and they tell me the hand has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hill. Oh yes, one day, one day my life with his joy, it doth fill. has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hill. Oh yes, one day, one day. Oh, think about it and sing it again. Amen. Oh, one day I'm gonna walk on the streets of pure gold, and they tell me the hand has never yet been told. I'll be united with loved ones on Zion's holy hill. Oh yes, one day, one day.
Promises he's made to us, saints. One day. Amen. One day. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, you'd like to come up. That's the blessing.
I'm so thankful for your love and mercy. May you bless this service. Bless this office.
Amen. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Amen. Praise his name.
Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's troubled sea, and may my
something on your heart, need a request. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Pitts, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, knowing, Lord, that within your glory you have the ability to answer every prayer in
this
world.
Yes, Lord.
So as we bring these requests to you, Lord, spoken and unspoken,
yes,
we ask you that you would answer the people's prayers according to your riches and
yes,
glory.
Yes, Lord.
For we ask it in
thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, sweet Savior.
Praise his name. You have a song for that, Karen? Alright. Anyone else have a song on your heart? Something special? Amen. Alright, let's all stand then, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Love him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, and Lord, for the precious word that you've given us. And Father, we just pray tonight that these few words I will exhort back to our remembrance. Lord, it may be things we've heard a million times, but Lord, maybe it will strengthen someone this evening, Lord, and help them along life's journey. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word and upon our hearts to the hearing. And we ask it all to your glory and to your honor. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he so wonderful? Amen. While you're standing, if you would, we'd like to turn our Bibles over to Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, and read a verse of Scripture before you sit down. Amen. Actually, I'm sorry, it's Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter. Amen. While you're turning, we just a little exhortation this evening, and it may seem a little strange, but it's been on my heart for some time, and I just felt led to read some of these things and not really... just to renew our minds, refresh our hearts, praying that it will help strengthen. Amen. But here, and we'll just read this and then you can be seated in Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter. Let's read that 15th verse. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. It's just, as we see the hour in which we're living, and there's all kinds of ministers in the land and things taking place. But God sent us a prophet and to declare where that ministry should be and what it should look like and what it would be. And you know, as we read these things tonight, you may think, well, are you trying to butter up your pastor? No, I'm not. Our pastor is a wonderful brother and a friend. But nevertheless, in his calling as a pastor, and he's responsible for everything I would read here tonight for these scriptures to be evident in his life. And the same is for me, as I do what little bit of ministering I do, I'm just as responsible. And so is any man, and it's not a thing to be think about, well, we're lifting up a ministry if we talk about these things. That's not the goal. The goal is to see the seriousness and the soberness that it is to truly have a shepherd over you that's watching for your soul. And you know, as our pastor was touching Sunday, and he'll get to it, I'm sure, if the Lord leads and he goes on. But the importance of truly having that leadership. You know, Brother Branham likened it many times as he talked about the wildlife, of how out there on that old pond, there'd be one old goose that go to honking, and he'd lift up, and it didn't nobody question. They followed right in line because there was something inside of them. They knew that's where it was going, and it was... they were predestinated to that. And God's word is the same. When you've been predestinated to receive God's word, you let a vindicated man of God get up and bring God's word. Let the word come straight from the word, or even a brother that's just exhorting the word. As long as it's coming from that word, you watch something down inside say, amen, Lord, let that be to me. You can't help yourself. But we're in such a time and place to where a lot of shepherds that try to be shepherds kind of get bashed on a little bit if they step on people's toes, or if they bring the word that's a little bit sharp and maybe it hurts a little bit, and trying to cut sin out of the mist. And maybe they, you know, Brother Branham, and I hope that speaking these things, it'll cause you to go back and maybe just search what Brother Branham said about a pastor. As I said, we spend a lot of time on Google looking for a lot of things. It wouldn't hurt us to spend a little bit of time searching in the prophet's message to see what he had to say about some of these things that lay there for ourselves, and study it out. Read it. Read the scriptures to go with it. Brother Branham always tied it right back into the word. You won't have any trouble finding it in both places. But if you would, let's go ahead and turn over here and read in Ephesians 4, just to place this in our heart. We know it by heart, but just to have it before us. And I'm not going to get real deep. It's just a little teaching, not a teaching, but just an exhortation to call these things back to our hearts. And I just want to remind you of some of the things Brother Branham said. In Ephesians 4, and we'll just start there at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man,
unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him and all things which is the head, even Christ. So there was a work to be done to bring us to maturity. And you know, the scriptures liken it many times to, you know, over in Revelations, or I think it was actually in Hebrews when our pastor was closing about to rebuke, and those, the Lord chastens those that he loves. As we see that taking place, and in the natural, is it, Brother Branham typed it to the natural, Paul typed it back to the natural, of those that we had fathers in the natural that corrected us and brought us up and reared us up in the way to go and to keep us on the straight and narrow, and how we gave them reverence and how we should truly give God reverence as he has given these gifts to men, placed them in the church, no matter what their office is. And as they begin to, and they do their duty, lay before the Lord underneath the leadership of the Holy Spirit and bring these things back to our remembrance, it's got to be, we should have such a reverence to God's word. And we give the respect to God's word. And we never place it, well, that's just that preacher's idea. If it's coming from the word, give God the reverence, and be sure you never are taking that approach, that that's his idea, that's his opinion. We must always make sure we're looking to, where did it come from? Because this was placed here by God for your and my edification and to bring us to that fullness. Amen. While we're on that, let's go ahead and read here in, let's go ahead and go to Hebrews 13:8. Just want you to bear this in mind a little bit. Whether we're young, old, middle-aged, it doesn't matter. It's always good to have our minds renewed to the things that God has spoken to us. Here in Hebrews 13, and we'll just start there at that 7th verse, rather, of the 13th chapter. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you, their idea? No, the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away about with divers and strange doctrines. And how we truly have been given the word in this day. We've truly, it's been pointed out to us to look and to watch. And how we should take that into so careful consideration to make sure that that word lines up from Genesis to Revelations. And if it does, then it's my obligation as being a son or daughter of God to make sure that I'm toeing the mark in every piece that's in there. And how that should be the cry of our heart is, Lord, every time we come in, the pastor may not know where I've been this week. He may know not what I've talked about, who I've seen, or where I've traveled. But God knows every footstep I've taken. He knows every word I've uttered. And he knows every thought that I've had run through my mind. And the Holy Spirit is still here leading and guiding, and he knows what you and I need. And that's why wherever you gather under a true pastor of the word or a minister, who, whether it be a prophet, pastor, evangelist, whatever, if the Holy Spirit is leading, he will bring forth what you need in due season. And don't ever think, well, somebody's been running and telling the pastor this. Somebody's been over there shaking and telling, getting his on their side. No. If it lines up in God's precious word, it don't matter if a bird spoke or whether it was a donkey as he was speaking Sunday about the donkey speaking back to Balaam. It doesn't matter. God has a way to make sure that what he needs to take place, he's going to get it to that little bride. And that little bride will be something in her heart will say, Lord, I'm sorry. If she sees where she's been wrong, you watch her come underneath the anointing of that precious word. But it's not to come underneath some church organization or some doctrine that's some creed that's been made up, but back to God's precious word and that alone. But we must never mix the two. Sometimes it's easy to come out from underneath something, an organization or another doctrine or something that you've heard, and come out from underneath that pressure and automatically think it's okay just to go, but maybe we better stop and go back and see God's word. There might have been a hint of truth in what you was presented. Maybe it was twisted, but God's word might have truly laid it down another direction. Yes. And how we must give reverence to that every time it comes forth, and making sure that it's lining up. Not, well, he done said it this way, that's the way. No, what did God say about it? And let's take that for ours. And by God's grace, as I said, That's why I come to this little building for myself. Now, you can't come here because I do. But Brother Steve's always been a good pastor to me, and I can truly see that, and I respect that. And that's not lifting him up. That's just saying he's done his duties as an obligation to God, that he's fulfilled his position. And for me, I recognize that he fulfilled that position, and I decided that then would be my pastor. That was God's gift to me. Now, that doesn't lift him up. That doesn't make him special. That just makes him God's tool and servant in the place. But by God's grace, I will give that office and the gift reverence. And no matter where you gather, that you should reverence that ministry where it's setting, if they're bringing you the truth and presenting it just the way it is. And I'll show you some things Brother Branham said here in just a moment, just to kind of back that up a little bit. But here we read that. Let's go over here to, let's go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter real quick, and read the way Peter put this. Or actually, let's go to Titus. Amen. Just to have these scriptures are all, I know we've read them many times, but it's always good to refresh our hearts.
Yes, amen.
And Titus, and it's the first chapter there, and looks like I've got wrote down here the 1st to the 4th verse. That's not right. I've wrote down the wrong. Amen. Let's try Titus 4. There isn't a 4th chapter. What did I do? Amen. Amen. Let's see here. It was just a small portion I was going to grab there. We'll pass over that one for the time being. We'll come back to it, Lord's will. But let's go here to 1 Peter and the 5th chapter. And listen to how Peter put this as he was expressing it. He said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, and neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that shall fade not away." So look at Peter as he was saying, lead by example. And how our precious prophet done that when he was here. He led by example in many things. And to tie that into that, in 2 Timothy, let's go there for a moment. As Paul was speaking, there's many scriptures and many places to go. I'm just trying to catch a few of them here just to bring us back to our remembrance. But just remember, as Paul was putting it here, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter..." That's 1 Timothy. It's supposed to be in 2 Timothy. I apologize. I was, when I wrote these down, I must have been in a little bit of a hurry. Let's see that. Let's go. It's 1 Timothy. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving for them which believe and now know the truth." See, that is not what I was looking for. Amen. Second Timothy 4:2. This is where Paul was speaking. This is where I apologize. I jumbled the notes. "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And notice Paul was mentioning the word rebuke. So you can go back through everything Paul preached and go back through everything the prophet preached, and you'll see that when the word is needed to come cutting, it will come. Just as Jesus was speaking in Revelations, as you can go and read, as John was speaking over there in the message to the churches, and look at how that came. I have somewhat against thee. And the report that was coming out, it's very evident through all the scriptures. And he says, long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. And how we have seen this, these scriptures being made manifest. We have seen congregations that are turning. They don't want the word preached to them in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. They want the jumping. They want the shouting. They want all of that goes with it. But they don't want the true soul-searching word of God to come in and to truly be washed by the water of the word and to have it scrub and to truly clean themselves up. Preaching that it must be born again and you must have a new birth. They don't want that soul searching taking place. They don't want that in their life. They don't want to be told they can't wear earrings. They don't want to be told they can't have makeup. They don't want to be told that they should abstain from the things of the world and the very appearance of evil. They don't want to hear these things that's laying in the scriptures. They want you to push that off and just tell them how good they are and what a son of God they are and how we're all going to heaven and we're all one family and it's just a wonderful thing. And you know, as we see that taking place more and more, how it should cause us to guard against it. And Jesus even warns himself, if you would, here in Matthew 7. We'll just read this real quick to put this in here, and then I want to read some things the prophet said. And I pray I'm not chopping it up too much, but just, if nothing else, I pray it'll stir your heart to go back and to read the things the prophet said about what the ministry of this day would be like and what it should do and what we should be looking for and watching for. It's a very serious thing, saints. Each one of us, the scripture tells us to search out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, and how we want to make sure that we're being fed. Do you think I'd want to go eat in a restaurant where I knew I had a 99% chance of getting food poisoning? Wouldn't show up there. Brother Pitt's probably tell you about how that would feel. You know, you ain't going to go there. You ain't even going to take a chance on it no more. And by God's grace, that's how it is with his word. When you realize that you're missing out on the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that you need to grow daily, you don't want to be found under a place to where you're not getting that nutrition placed back into your body. Amen. But in Matthew 7, in the 15th verse, Matthew 7 and 15. Let's start about the 13th verse. I'd like to catch that. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. But wherefore by their fruits or their labors ye shall know them. So think about that, what the works are being produced, and looking at a life lived and watching for an example to take place. It must line up in the scripture. And oh my, how we should truly, God's word doesn't mince and cut corners. As Brother Branham has described it, there's no black-white bird. Amen. And how God's word states it just the way it is, and how we should carefully take it into consideration and look at everything exactly. And you know, Brother Branham, just a few places he talked about this, and this one struck my heart as I was reading this, and I thought I'd just share it with you. This is in As the Eagle Stirreth Her Nest, and this was preached August 15th, 1959. And he's just going to talk a little bit here now about this eagle that he saw in a cage. But I want you to listen to how he kind of tied this in and what he said. And this is about halfway of paragraph 25. And he said, I looked at his weary eyes as he rolled his eyes and looked around towards the skies, and I thought, what a pity. He's a heavenly bird. He was built and made and born and generated to fly into the heavens, but he's caged. And some smart, intelligent trapper had caged him and caught him. And I thought, that's the most pitiful sight that I've ever seen. And I could take weeks of wages and buy that poor fella and turn him loose, because he wasn't made for a cage. He was made to be free in the air. And I thought that was horrible. And then my mind changed when I stood and looked at the sons and daughters of God, who were born to be sons and daughters of God, walking around dressed immorally, smoking cigarettes, drinking. That's just a few things. There's a whole list of things we can place in there. If we're not towing the mark in God's word, it belongs in that line. He said, it's more pitiful to see a son of God that was born to be a son or daughter of God, slaved by the world, than it is to see that eagle in the cage. And the world has caged people up. Denominational barriers keeping them from the thing that God put them on earth to be, sons and daughters of God. And that's a pitiful sight. To see a human being that's being helpless, seemingly bound by sin and merely beating their brains out, flopping around from beer parlor to beer parlor and from place to place, from amusement to amusement, trying to find satisfaction when God alone has the satisfaction that can satisfy them. And God made a man to thirst after him. And that's the reason man has something in him to thirst. God put that thirst in you. But you can't satisfy it with the things of the world. You'll never be satisfied till God takes that place. And God likened his eagles or heritage to his eagles. And let's take what the eagle does. Another thing the eagle does when he builds his nest, he builds it way high. And I've watched them, when they get to the highest point they can get, they build their nest. And that's likened unto the church of the living God. If it makes it stand for the highest ambition and the highest thoughts and the holiest things away from the earthbound thing, that's where the church takes her stand, on the highest pinnacle she can stand on, and that's on Calvary, the cross of the Lord Jesus. The eagle puts his nest way up there. And he how different from his denominational brother, the chicken. The chicken builds his nest anywhere. Yet you can't say he's not a bird. He is. But he don't know nothing about the heavenly. He's never been up there. He don't know nothing about it. And there's men and women who profess to be Christians who walk around in the scratching of the barnyard of some cold, formal, indifferent place. And they don't know what it is to be lifted up into the Spirit of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says it would kill him. It would kill that chicken. They're not built for it. And how that ought to be the cry of our hearts, as he's just liking the church to that. It ought to be the cry in our hearts to reach out and to reach out into a place in the Spirit. To know what it means to be lifted up into the Holy Spirit and to feel him surround you with his love, and whether it may drive you to your knees, but to know that he's ever present, and it's that Holy Spirit, you can just feel the love. There's no doubt, you don't have to ask somebody. There will be something about it you'll know when you come into his presence. You won't need anyone to tell you that you're standing there. Amen, you'll know. He's got to be born again by the Holy Spirit, and that changes his whole makeup, so it makes him a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you're changed from the creature that you are when you are born again by the Spirit of God. Another thing, that chicken is unconcerned about the brood. He builds his nest on the ground, and the rats and the mice and the weasels and the snakes can get into them. And that's what loose preaching does. Listen to how Brother Branham tied this right into this. He said, that's what loose preaching does. Letting people go to rock and rolls and wear, and women wear these immoral clothes, deacons smoking cigarettes. It takes them into the rats and the mice and the hell that scrams their souls and condemns them. A preacher or a denomination or a church that would try to build a congregation on anything less than the solid rock of God's word, you're wrong, and your members will perish, and you'll perish with them. But the eagle's going to see different to that. He goes so high that if a rat tried to climb it, he'd break his neck. I love that. God takes his children so high above the things of the world that the rats can't climb to it. It's a different bird. And he's made different, and he protects his little ones. And a true pastor of the living God will never stand still in a pulpit, but what he will preach the unadulterated truth of God. If he has to run all of the chickens out, he will stand on the unadulterated word of God, not on the rock of Gibraltar, but the rock of ages, and then it's faith. And faith cannot rest upon the shifting sand of man's theology, but faith takes its eternal stand upon the unchangeable and unshakable rock of ages and can stand there while the waves is beating the bottom out of it and the grave is open and look across the sea to him that said, I am the resurrection and life, saith God, and stand right there. And by God's grace, that's what's burning in the heart of the little elect. We don't want to be built on the sinking and shifting sands of man's theology and ideas, but we want to build ourselves up on the rock. The solid rock of revelation that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and him only will I serve and follow, and let him have the preeminence in my life, and you watch the difference that it'll make. So, you know, I just want you to stop to think about that. There's many pastors that don't feel they should cry out against sin. There's many people that they don't want to hurt their flock's feelings. They don't want to go there. But that's what God sent his word for, and that's why he gave gifts to the church to bring them to that place. What do you think Moses felt like when he was up there on the mountain and God wrote the Ten Commandments on that slab of stone and he come down out of there and seen what was taking place in the valley? And what do you think happened? He knew what God said, and he knew God meant exactly what he said would happen. He had already proved it in the Garden of Eden. And oh my, what a serious hour it was, and how it's a serious hour every time we come into church to come and gather around God's word, never to mix my idea into it, never for a minister to say, well, it could be my opinion that it could be this way. I kind of see it like that. No, here's the word. I may not have a full understanding of this, but keep praying till God reveals it. You watch how God works. The Holy Spirit never comes and leaves you guessing. He's going to place your feet on the solid rock of God's precious word, and you'll be able to know exactly where to stand. And there may be things that we don't understand. Maybe we need it revealed to us, but there's something that'll hold a son or daughter of God steady. And as Brother Bram said, lay it on a shelf and keep praying and crying out. And in God's time, he will reveal that thing to you that you need. But oh, don't draw a conclusion that this is how it is, or I think it may be this way. But you watch how God uses his ministry to only bring the word. And they shouldn't have to guess and wonder what's being said, but you'll be able to see it in the holy pages as it's written out. Yes. That's what brings life. Not me telling you how I think it ought to be, and you saying, well, Brother Tim said it ought to be this way. I think it ought to work. That is never going to get you anywhere. But when you can look back into God's unfallible, unshakable word and say, there it lays right there. Hallelujah. There's something down on the inside that'll get a hold of you. And you won't care who tells you different. You'll know it's right there. God will anchor it solid for you. Yes, amen. Did your pastor anchor it? No, God used your pastor to bring the word to you. But you watch God anchor it home. Amen. Oh, if we just put God in these right categories and let him, the Holy Spirit, lead us, you watch him bring forth the increase that's needed in our lives. Amen. And just to catch a few of these where he was talking about a true pastor, this is in Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Paragraph 22. This was preached March 9th, 57. He said, another thing God does, he told Abraham and Sarah to separate themselves from their company. And God calls for a separation. How much different it is in us choosing anything. We choose mixers. So yes, I tell you, that's the socialist little fella you ever seen. He's not a fanatic. He won't preach anything against television and all this kind of stuff like that. About women wearing bobbed hair and all these things like that. You never hear it spoken in our church. Just because he hasn't got the real audacity, he hasn't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost to back it up. That's all. What we need is a God-fearing preacher who tells the truth. That's right. And that's what makes the separation. And I want you to think back on this last day of Pentecost when those little brothers were standing on the street corners preaching to everybody. And they looked like the mockery. But they were preaching truth as they had it. These little storefronts preaching truth to sinners. And oh my, standing for what was right. And look at the prophet came. Look how he tore things to pieces that was wrong and against the word, just the same as Elijah did to back in the Old Testament. Paul, when he came, look at the things that they were preaching. Cutting sin out from the church. You're called out, a separated people, a peculiar people. Yes. And oh my, we shouldn't have to look. Our identification should be easily found in the scriptures, not identified with this world. But oh my, people's afraid to call that out anymore. They will just live loosely any way they want to live and call themselves a Christian and a Bible believer. But God sent the ministry in this day all over this earth that's truly screaming out and raising the standard against sin and what's going on around us. And how we want to find out if God's called us to the ministry in any way to make sure we're doing our part the best we can with what we have to do with. Oh my, not being slack or afraid to say what he lays upon our heart, but make sure that it lines up in the word, but to bring it the way he's been given to us. He says, what we need is God-fearing preachers who tell the truth that makes a separation. And Brother Branham says, I always like his advice, and I would be, if you know people go looking, how do I find a pastor? Brother Branham said, if I was choosing a pastor, and I was on the board and had to select a pastor, and he was one of those wishy-washy kind of sissified guys like that, I sure wouldn't vote him into my church. I'd vote him out and get a man that did believe God's word and took God's word and preached it and stood on it. I want a son of Abraham up there, a son of God. Notice Abraham had to separate himself, and as long as his kinsfolk was hanging around with him, he didn't do what God told him to do. The blessings never was made manifest. As long as you keep holding on to that little petty something, a little something here, a little something there, God can never fully bless you as long as you try to take God for a totem pole. Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Roberts is in town, hallelujah. And let me see. Yeah, we'll hold off right there on that. But this was in the Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Just a few little things of how Brother Branham felt, like if he was looking for a pastor. Mm-hmm. And this was Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel, June 30th, 1963. Paragraph 214, just one little paragraph. He says, Brother Bowes and them is forming a church in Chicago, and they just had to give up the Philadelphian church to that denomination. Now, they was talking about getting some guy with his coat back like this, some DD, and I said, you're on your road out. If you want to find a real pastor for that church, get a little old humble guy, can hardly read his name, and his heart is on fire for God, and just take that guy. That's the one you want to get. Somebody that don't know all these things and somebody that won't dictate and drive and throw you into all kinds of debts and everything else, but just feed you the word of God. That's the kind of person to get. And oh, how good it is, no matter when you sit underneath the preaching of God's word and you can truly see it coming from the scriptures. You see it coming from the quotes that Brother Branham brought, and you see that picture being formed. And the Holy Spirit's there just drawing it in and showing, pointing it out. And it's so much easier than me trying to tell you about this thing that I saw and how I think it ought to work and this ought to be. And if we put it like this, maybe it'll happen just right. No, that's not going to work. But God knows exactly how to do things and how truly it is. Even as our pastor was preaching Sunday, and you know, some may have just got, well, he's just talking about some animals on a migration. That's all I got out of that. But if you can just read between the lines and see the picture. Just as Brother Brandon, when he was talking about that goose honking out there on the lake, there's more to it than just an animal. Yes. There's a greater picture to God's precious word. There is a reality laying here that each one of us as individuals has got to catch a hold of. Yes. That God is leading and guiding and pulling a people for a purpose. We're not just here to be churchgoers. Mm-hmm. Fellowship's wonderful. It's wonderful to get together with. But I'm here as an individual before God making my sure of my calling and election. And then making sure that my eternal day's destination is secure. And I know exactly where I'm standing. You know, as you get older and you just every day you see it. You're not promised tomorrow. You know, 43 anymore, just you look and you see people that was pure and healthy. Nothing wrong with them and they just fell over dead. God, when your number's up, it's up. And only God knows the day or the time. But I want to know that I'm standing and living pleasing, that whatever moment he calls me, I'll be ready. And I don't have to worry and say, oh, I need to go fix this and I need to go fix that. There ain't time for it. Get it right now. So no matter what, you'll know exactly. I'm just going to drop this robe of flesh and step over Jordan. Yes. Oh my, that's the truth to get us. That's what God's word is here for, to bring us to that assurance. And that's what God's using his ministry for, to bring us to that place, to show us where we can stand with an assurance, not a guessing game, not a just a wishy-washy, well, I know this, he said that, and that's it. But no, to bring us to a place to where God can reveal that precious word that will give you that place to stand. And you could be able to stand with a backbone of your own, put with the whole armor of God on. Amen. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Brother Branham, this was in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And Brother Branham was given Brother Neville a little bit of a flower for being a good pastor and holding up the church. And I want you to read what he said and then what how he led into this. This is paragraph 77. And he said, I want you to remember that Brother Neville here left in the church in charge of this tabernacle under the Holy Spirit, that he is left here and he believes this message and he teaches it just the same as I do. Right, and any time that you want to, you can see fit to come to hear Brother Neville. He certainly would do you good. I'm sure he's a great servant of Jesus Christ. And I know Norman Neville since I was a little boy, and he hasn't changed one speck, only got closer to God. And I remember when I first saw him, I was invited to the Methodist platform. And when I come back here to the tabernacle, I said, someday I'll baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. And here he is with the message now going on, a real gallant servant. And Brother Neville goes through many strains and heartaches that he doesn't show here in the tabernacle. And being that the Lord lets me have a little insight into people's life, I know what he goes through, a whole lot of it, see? And certainly he goes under a lot of labor and strains and things, and you people here hold him up like Joshua and Caleb held up the hands of Moses as he's bringing the word. And listen as he says, love one another above everything, love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say, you're all one great sweet group now, but remember my warning, see, Satan won't let it stay that way. No, sir, he'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't have nothing to do with it, anything else. You stay right loving, sweet, and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved to, or that woman, or whoever it is. Just pray for them. And stick one with another. And stay with your pastor. See, he is the shepherd. And you give him respects, he'll lead you through, because he's ordained of God to do so. And you remember that. The enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. That one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. So remember that. Is your pastor, as he touched just a briefly, that normally there's God, and even in that great migration as he was mentioning, just to keep it fresh in your heart, that sometimes there's a leader pointed out in that group. Just as that goose is pointed out in those great beasts, there's always someone that's kind of the charge. And you watch, and that's kind of, your pastor has been given a special place. God gave those gifts and made them who they are and placed them in the church. And you just remember that a true pastor is watching for your soul and watching over you to make sure that if he sees something in the flock, a deficiency, he's going to do all he can to help that deficiency. Not just watch it go on and fester and say, I don't know why they don't get that fixed. No, but by God, give him a special place to bring that word to help and to increase and to nurture. And by God's grace, may we be open and receptive sheep. As Brother Branham said, God likened us unto sheep, we must be led. And so may we truly follow the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his word. And take his word and not what somebody else has said. And you know, oftentimes your pastor may come and really present you the word and the way that it's written. And somebody else comes, well, they didn't really mean that. You don't have to take it that way. Careful. God said what he meant. And that's the same old devil that showed up to Eve. It don't really mean that. And may we truly be careful, but remember, God gave gifts to each one of us as an individual. And if you believe God's called you to this message, to be a bride for him in this last day, if he didn't call you to the ministry, he sent a ministry for you. And that's a gift to you. And if you can recognize that's a gift that God gave you to use for your benefit, how blessed you will be if you'll come under that ministry and open up your heart and say, Lord, show me. It's so easy. You see so many. As soon as the minister starts into something, it's a little touchy sometimes. Boy, the door gets shut pretty quick. But you know, that's why we gather here. God knows what we need. And this is a place. The judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And oh my, may we truly be a people that's looking for, Lord, show me your ways and how to mend that I would be more like you. That every action would declare you to this generation, Lord. That you would have the full preeminence, as the prophet said you would have of a people in this age. God's word's laying there, and God is truly trying to call our attention to the seriousness of the hour in which we live. But don't ever forget it, saints. This is more important than our natural food. It's more important than our natural life. This is life eternal. And oh, may we truly seek out in every word that he speaks to us. May we truly hang on to God's precious word and say, Lord, let it be to me. Search out the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Study them. Go back and search these quotes out. Go back and search the things the prophet said. There's so many things that if people would just go back and read what the prophet said, how great of a job it would do for him. Listen to the tape. Let the prophet scream it out into your heart underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, praying and asking God to open your understanding, and you watch what you can get from listening to that tape. But that doesn't do away with God's provided way of coming together. But oh, God can speak to your heart anywhere, anytime, in the right condition, in the right attitude. He will meet you there. Amen. I pray you can take something from it. It may seem a little chopped up, but just a little thing to remember. God placed gifts to the church for your benefit and my benefit. And oh, may we truly take full advantage to make sure that I'm finding a good, true, and faithful pastor that will feed me, that will nurture my soul, and that the word that's being brought will cause the increase. Not the pastor giving the increase, but God will give the increase underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit as I come under his provided way and watch what God can do for us. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. Could we just sing that little chorus? I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen. I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen in sorrow. Amen rain or shine. Yes to God forever. He knows what's best for me. And so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be. Yes, I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen in sorrow, amen rain or shine, it's yes forever, knows what's best for me, and so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be. God help me to always feed you the Word of God and to help you. You know, as I've said before, God placed a little something in my heart. I've mentioned this before in the pulpit that I just want to feed the people. Feed them the Word of God, something that will nourish them and bring the increase and bring them into Christ to be more like Christ. And that's what my desire is. I desire to even, you know, in the natural, to feed animals, take care of them. I've told you that before. I just love to nurture them, take care of them. I love to see life go on, you know, and see them live happily, amen, serving their purpose in life. So you just always keep me in your prayer, because I can't do anything on my own, that's for sure. And I'm definitely not an educated person. And I know there's many people who do a much better job, but just pray God will help me too with, you know, what he's given me to do to take care of it. Amen. So we appreciate the Word of God. I know it was hard for Brother Timothy to bring out. He's very nervous there at the beginning. But I pray God will bless him and encourage him and strengthen him. You know, he's a great help to the church. So we appreciate him with all our heart. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much for your blessings, your mercy and your grace, your love, your care. You're just so mindful, Lord. And as the little song goes, he careth for you. And Lord, you care for us so very much. You have blessed us beyond measure. And we just ask that you'll help us to yield and continue to give our life to you, that we would be of service to you. And Lord, our lives would be worthy of this great gospel that you've given. So we ask now that you would just go with each one and guide them and protect them, keep them safe, Lord, and
Bring us all back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, give us health and strength to do so. We just love you with all our heart now. May you just bless us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May God be with you, and his peace and his grace be with you.